This is the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast. This episode is sponsored by Infinite Road Destinations, the smartest short-term rental property management group I know, and the group that manages my properties. This is a company that's very close to my heart, run by two of the smartest, most attentive people I know, Claire Rosenberg and Alex Brashears. Claire and I first met when we worked together at NetApp, where she was a top performer and rose crazy fast in the company. And Alex is just one of the most active, genuine people I know in the real estate space. The two of them together bring a blended background of project management, software design, and extensive experience with automation tools and virtual assistants. Through these experiences, they optimize any property to deliver a hands-off experience to owners while delivering the highest occupancy and highest daily rates possible. You guys know I would not recommend anything to anyone in this group that I do not fully endorse or think that is the absolute best product. And this company is that. And like I said before, this is the exact company and people that manage my Airbnbs. If you don't believe me, here are a few of the other tools and services that come along with the team: listing optimization, guest support and approval, communication and reservations, key exchange and management, dynamic pricing, welcome kit creation, listing advertising and marketing, vendor management, including cleaners, maintenance, handyman, runners, and monthly property reports. To learn more, check out shorttermmadeeasy.com or email info@shorttermmadeeasy.com. And on the form, just mention that you heard it here or mention my name. So give it a try. You have nothing to lose and they offer a satisfaction guarantee. And I assure you guys, you will not be disappointed. What's up, guys? Jonathan here. This is another Friday personal episode where we go through what's top of mind, questions, topics, learnings, and of course, little nuggets that can maybe help make your lives easier on an ongoing day-to-day basis in real estate, general, business, and other. So we can just jump right in, guys. This is going to be a fairly short and sweet episode, but some impactful topics. And the topic for this week is how to find a mentor. This is one that I struggled with immensely at exactly this time last year. I had a coach and I was in some masterminds, but I did not have a formal mentor last year. So I remember at this time specifically, I was on the hunt to find someone who could maybe help bridge the gap. And at this time last year, I was still all in on multifamily. It was when I was living in the Midwest and I was actually looking and starting to make videos every week to send to people, basically seeing if they would consider being a mentor of mine. And like, I didn't think it was going to be that hard at the time. And I still don't actually think it is. So what we're going to go through in this episode is how I think anyone who's looking can find a mentor and how you can do it in a couple steps without having to pay a ton of money for, let's say, their coaching program or maybe even their mentor group, whatever it is. If you have some time and energy and you're willing to maybe trade something instead of doing just money for learning. So I want to go through the exact kind of like step-by-step of how I went about doing it and what that looked like. So from a very high level, I was looking for a multifamily mentor. And if you guys know anything about this space, multifamily mentors, I didn't know at the time, are very expensive. And they're ranging anywhere from like, let's say $20,000 to $50,000. But in theory, if you're successful with them, you should be able to make a lot more money than just $20,000 to $50,000. And then it just becomes more a matter of how much you put into it. So I was looking to bypass that. As you guys know, I like to think things through before I do them. And for you guys too, I think there are a lot of ways that you can bypass paying so much for mentorship. So people always would say you need to add value. And that was one that I still hear to this day of people saying, if you want to find a mentor, or get close to people or find investors or make sales, you need to add value. But very rarely do I hear like a list of tactical kind of to-dos or how-tos behind that. So I remember thinking about this very like specifically and just wondering, all right, well, what can I do to specifically add value? And at that time, this is a good tip for anyone that's just wondering how to start thinking more in this mindset. I just started coming up with a list of ways that I thought I could add value to other people. So ways like analyzing their deals or calling for people or door knocking or property management or social media or content creation, just all things that even if I didn't know how to necessarily do them great at the time, was just willing to learn or just step in and see what I could just do to help them with whatever knowledge I had. And that was kind of the start of it. So I want to go through actually an example of one of these. So for me, like I said, it was multifamily, and I was looking to just figure out who could help me in multifamily, or then I needed to flip my thinking to who could I help in multifamily that was on this list and what could I do for them. So this was coming right after I read Joe Fairless's Best Ever Apartment Syndication book, which I still do believe for me is my favorite real estate book, just because it's so tactical. It's very step-by-step. There's no room for like misinterpretation or even interpretation, really. It's just do these set of steps and you should be able to find a deal, and it'll take time. It's not anything theoretical. It's not anything that I would say like leaves things for chance. If you do these steps, I feel you will almost guarantee that in 3 to 6 months, you will have a deal. And then based on kind of your ambition level, you'll be able to find money to fund that deal. And then it's up to you, or kind of the book kind of walks through how good you can follow steps to then execute on due diligence and organizing a business plan and all that stuff. But anyway, I was just reading it and it hit me that this was then the person to follow. So I was really consuming tons of Joe Fairless content. I was reading his books. I was reading his blog. I was listening to his podcast. If he had stuff on YouTube. And as I was doing this, and this is going to come full circle in a sec when I just talk about the message that I sent, we're going to try to just link maybe screenshots or link the actual message I sent below as like a little bit of a learning. But from a high level, I was watching these things and I was just thinking through in my head, okay, that could be improved a little bit, or maybe I can add on to that a little bit with everything that I saw. So this is YouTube, podcast, blog, and I was going through, and let's say even if I found an error, I would just make a note of it. So I was keeping this like punch checklist or punch list, basically, of anything that was like a potential mistake or potential improvement, really. And at that time, I was also starting to build my brand for more of the millennial real estate community. And I felt like he wasn't hitting that community as well. So basically just starting to put together kind of a value prop of who I am, what I do, and all the things that I think could potentially be a value add to him and his business. Now, this isn't me asking for anything. This isn't something that I feel like he would need in order to continue doing his business. Obviously, he's very successful, but all little things that maybe could be a value add and could help if they were presented the right way. So then let's just go into what I was actually doing to try to get connected to him. So basically, then let's go tactics, guys. So then I created a list of 10 people in multifamily that I really admired. These were people like from big to small. I'll name some. Some have been on the podcast, some maybe not. But these are people from, let's say, like Jake and Gino, Grant Cardone. Let's see who else. Neil Bawa. The apartment guys. So like it was a big list of, it was maybe 10 people, but it was a bigger names of people that I just saw doing what I wanted to do, or at least I thought I wanted to do at the time, and said, how can I get around these people? So that's always like the question to ask, I think, when you're going for a mentor, is this someone I admire? Is this someone I would trade places with in 20 years? If not, that's, you know, like a good kind of clue to maybe say they're not someone you want to be working underneath or mentoring with, just because you don't admire this person or you wouldn't want to trade places with the person. Like, you want to be excited to work with this person. So that's kind of like also my like rant right now against corporate is I left because I saw the people 20 years ahead of me and I wasn't excited at all. It was like more depressing than exciting. So if you're going to look for a mentor in the space, just really try to find someone who's doing what you want to be doing, or at least it seems like they're doing what you want to be doing. And you'll see actually when you get closer to some of these people, if that's true or not. And sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. But anyway, I started putting together this list and then get prepared to make these videos for people of me talking to the camera, which I know is very weird for some people and it's an uncomfortable thing. But as they always say, you need a way to stand out. And this to me was a way to stand out amongst the clutter and show that also I was taking some time and energy to put this together, because I'm not anyone who's too good to respond to messages, but I do get a lot of messages now that are asking for mentorship or free help or situational questions, or I would just love to pick your brain. And I always try to do it. Now that I have a little bit more time, and some of you guys listening may have done that, I try to do that as much as possible while I could still maintain some semblance of balance in my life and also making sure that I'm getting what I need to done. And right now I have more time. I don't think I will have as much time in the future, but anyway, I guess my point is with that
is these people are getting a lot of messages. People like Grant Cardone, Neil Bowa, Jake Ngino, Joe Fairless. And that's why they created coaching programs. They didn't create coaching programs before there was a demand. They did it because there was so much demand. So I think the question here is then, okay, if I actually want to try to bypass that, I need to think about adding value. So for me, I was like, I need to add value and I need to stand out. So I put together this email here, which we're going to put together and we'll make sure it's in the show notes or linked somewhere. But I basically kicked it off. I'll just read the first paragraph here. This is a year ago on June 22nd. Okay. Hi, Joe. I'm sure you get a lot of these, so I'll be as concise as possible. At the end, if there is no need or none of these apply to you, I completely understand and hope to cross paths sometimes in the future. You have helped me tremendously already. Below is a brief video of who I am and some ways I'd love to try to bring value. And then linked was a YouTube video that I just filmed and we put on YouTube, and it was unlisted. So I don't know if it's really public, but maybe we'll make it public. Could kind of be a fun thing. And then I just said, here's a recap, a little bit about myself and what I do, blah, 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 and some mutual friends. And then below that, I had a topic, like a header that says 14 ways I'd like to add value. I will be working on finding more. And then I had them kind of broken out into three categories: syndication school, which is like his learning for new syndicators. And then I said content creation, and then I said general value add. So from a high level, I'll just go through a couple of these. I guess there's like 14 or 15 points here. And like, I don't want the takeaway to be, oh, you could do this because you were living in Kentucky or you're being a nomad. There's always something you can do to help someone. I just so happened to be kind of taking some aggressive action and left New York at the time, and I was a nomad in the middle of the country. But at the same time, anyone can add value in different ways. So basically the first one I said was, I can help a syndication school, help on the work on the website. I can learn about SEO, Facebook ads, help drive people to syndication school, help get people kind of more aware of what this is. I said, update all the links. I said, adjust a few minor kind of sequences that don't take people to the right place. Make sure that his Bigger Pockets episode is kind of more front and center. Help design additional parts of syndication school that people would like to hear more about. There are a couple of things that I remember people saying they wish they would have seen on there. So that was the first part. Not that much, but like there was a bunch of dead links in there and a bunch of like links that would take people to the wrong page or whatever. So it could have been improved. And that was just why. And I didn't put it in a way that was like, oh, like you need this. It was just more of, I think there's a little bit of a way that we can do something here. So that was the first one. The second one was video and content creation. I said, Joe, I'd be happy to help create video content on your behalf, like BP, Bigger Pockets, has done with people like Sterling White, Joe Asamoah, Jesse Fergale. So basically saying like, I want to help grow your brand into the millennial community. And I know you're busy and I know you're kind of doing less content creation, but I'd really be happy to help you kind of make more content and push that towards the younger generation. And then even I said, like, I could help transcribe the visual transcriptions of your podcast and turn those into videos, because there's a lot that I thought was great on his stuff, but it wasn't specific to how to do it with visual. And some of the stuff you kind of need to see of how to analyze deals or whatever. So I'm just going through some examples, guys. These can be sort of whatever you want to make them, but these were things that I felt like content creation wise could be improved upon. And then the last one, this is six things. General value add. Said number one, drive areas for you. Two, I can live in a city you're prospecting. Three, help you with your virtual meetup. Four, help with virtual assistant tasks. Five, build a VA system for you and add, this is part of your coaching program. Six, if you are part of any masterminds, happy to be a note taker, admin, or review your to-dos. So basically just like, that's specific, but those are things that I just felt I could help with, but also like I just saw he was trying to potentially add value with or like do already and see if it worked. So I sent this video, and basically my ask at the end was, if you had 15 minutes to review in the coming weeks, I'm available to work on your schedule. As mentioned above, if none of these apply, feel free to just let me know you're all set. Thanks again. And then I just put a link to the podcast and my LinkedIn and sent it. And I procrastinated on this for like a week, but I sent it and nothing happened. And I think like 5 days later, I just sent a follow-up. I was like, hey, Joe, just checking if you saw this. Again, follow up, be persistent. And he got back and said it was just a really thoughtful message. And yeah, let's get started. And from there, it'll be another story of just like basically what happened and then my learning at the time of kind of like what I was doing. But basically, that's how I was able to bypass a $50,000 potential coaching program if I wanted to bring value for free. And it's not free. Everything is for something. So it's either time, money, and energy. And in this case, I was willing to trade time and energy to get close to him and his team to do all the things that he was doing with his coaching clients. And that was basically the moral of the story. So I think it's really important, guys, like coming into, let's say, summer, and some people lose steam, and it's really just that much more important to get around the right people and just remember that there are people that are doing exactly what you want, and there are ways to get around them from like a mentorship standpoint and to just deliver value. And these were some examples of ways that I delivered value. And I should have made it 15 things. I don't know why I said 14, but there were only 14 in that email. But anyway, video and tactical things that you could help someone with is almost a guaranteed way to get a response, because you're just showing them that you're thinking differently. You're showing them that you're going above and beyond from just, hey, will you be my mentor? Or, hey, can I pick your brain? They don't know who you are. They don't know what you need help with. And basically now, like I never really understood it as much as I do right now. Let's say I put my Calendly link out there to connect with people. There are, let's say, 20 people that want to catch up, and I want to do it too, to help however I can. I don't know where those 20 people are at, what books they've read, where they live, how much money they have. So I'm trying to give advice. They're saying, what would you do? I'm saying, this is exactly what I would do. And I could lay it out. But then I stopped kind of doing that because they're like, yeah, well, I don't live in that type of market, or I don't have that much money, or I don't have access to it, or, you know, I have wife and kids. So really, like, now it just needs to be understanding their background and then delivering some type of advice. But I guess my point is, like, it's hard. People want to help. It's just when they don't know anything about the other person, I feel like it's harder to help. And then if they don't think it's going to impact that person, they just don't want to do it. Otherwise, it's kind of a waste of both people's time. So they'd rather work with people that are sort of invested, but also that they know a little bit more about, so they can work with them. So that's just like kind of a random thing, but it is down the track of like the value of like finding a mentor that can understand you and your situation and then actually help you work through some of your problems. So from a high level, that is just the mentorship topic and tactics that I think anyone can apply today to find their dream mentor. If it's Grant Cardone, Joe Fairless, Jake and Gino, or if it's short-term rental people, whoever you want to find as a mentor, I think it's totally possible. So that's the first topic for today. Okay, just some top of mind stuff, just keeping you guys in the loop with my life and some projects that we have going on with MMTR stuff. So from a couple high level business things, had a couple big learnings this week regarding short-term rentals. So one, we had a bad review that was unfortunate, because we actually, it was a great stay with this guest. He stayed like 7 nights and we made a mistake. The cleaner, when they were going through the property, said that one of the curtains was broken, like one of the top parts of the window curtain, the metal rod, and told Claire and myself. And I was sort of tied up at the time. And she said, hey, this is broken. Just letting you guys know. And not really thinking, just Claire asked if I wanted to do a claim to just try to get it like fixed for $100. And I said, yes. And this is a good learning, because there are some times where you need to assess kind of the value of the review versus pissing someone off that might leave you a horrible review after you do something like that. And to make it even worse, when I saw the picture after, I realized it was already broken. So this had nothing to do with the person that was staying there. We unrequested it. Then we sent them actually a $50 kind of gift card to apologize, but the damage was already done. So they left us a poor review and said that we were basically just trying to chase them for money. And yeah, they were right, actually. So I don't fault them for leaving that bad review. We actually made a mistake. But this does just lead me to a reminder of, I see on a lot of forums and stuff, people are posting about like, oh, someone put like makeup in my hand towels and, you know, I can't get it out. And should I request money for it? And it's a tricky situation. There's no one size fits all. But I would say if you're in a phase where you really need those reviews and it's under an amount that you can tolerate and won't really hurt your returns, I would probably consider not doing anything just to not harm the relationship in that short period of time for someone to leave a review. So anyway, that was kind of frustrating. I think it was a 2-star review. So the lowest we've ever gotten, but the guy was pissed and just is what it is. So hopefully, you know, that'll be something that we move past. And it's a little frustrating more so because it's early on in the property. It's only its 3rd review, but it's the one in Raleigh. So that one is staying booked, but now it's just a matter of kind of reboosting the reviews, which kind of stinks. So that is that. And then alongside that, we've been getting really booked across the board with the stuff that's been listed, but now it's kind of flattened out for some stuff in the future. We haven't really got any like longer distance bookings that are coming up. So we're going to be playing around with some pricing strategies and maybe incentives. We use Price Labs and SmartBnB, but I want to see, I think those are honestly like, it's good for the host. They try to really list the property for as much as it can get, but I don't know how we have our settings on it right now for how like long or short a stay is, or how far out a guest booking would be that it would like be an added discount. So starting to play around with that more. We'll keep you guys posted on the settings we decide, but those are 2 software tools that we're playing around with and using kind of every day in the business to just make sure that the pricing is good. Second priority for me is actually golf. So not sure you guys care, but just for those that are curious and what I like to do for fun, I'm getting like very much back into golf, taking a lot more lessons and getting ready for tournaments. So hopefully I have some good wins and, some good stuff coming there, but I'm in North Carolina and playing today in a tournament with the, NetApp crew from back in the day. But, these are just like some really, really my closest friends. And, we played these tournaments. So I got also to thank Seth Spies for having me in his house, Seth and Mackenzie. Really appreciate you guys. And yeah, we're playing golf today in Raleigh. So that's something random. And then for the wholesale stuff, we have actually 2 sellers that we're just sending contract to right now for assignment. But this is the first one that we're doing. We're trying to just get with the newer system, or we're trying to just get a handle on how to do it quickly. The sellers have a couple like stipulations. They don't want a ton of people walking through, or they want it to be done in a quick timeline. So we're just trying to get some of the back end stuff done to do these. But these were properties that we cold called and then followed up with, and there wasn't enough spread to either do a wholetail or a wholesale deal. So pretty excited about that. We just now need to get them to sign the contract, find our buyer. And I think the spreads on these was like 12 or 13,000, so it's pretty solid, and just now needed to kind of move the steps along to do it virtually. So that's that. And then travel. I've still been a nomad and still probably doing more of that for the next couple months. The plan is going to be Raleigh and Pinehurst for the next like 2 weeks. If anyone's in North Carolina, hit me up. And New York for probably a month and a half after that, maybe with a trip to Austin sprinkled in the middle there. And then I will probably be trying to figure out an abroad trip, or Hawaii and then Asia, something like that, and have a little fun. Because I did realize now, looking back, and I think about this like from just happiness and time and fulfillment and all those kind of things in that bucket, that I was really burned out. And I definitely have felt kind of lazy even the last couple months. Last month, since being out of corporate and since closing on that last deal, which is kind of the reason I left. But I definitely have had days where I'm asking myself, what should I be doing every day? Like I've said this in other episodes, but I think now, like, it's funny how sometimes you just need time to pass to look back and see how you felt in that like time. But like, I think the first couple of weeks, if I could do it again, I would just be lazier and I would just spend more time kind of doing nothing and just like accepting that I was probably burned out and that I just needed some time off. But I'm still kind of in that phase, and I have a feeling that, you know, I can get recharged a little bit and then come back and have some more like energy and kind of focus on whatever I want to do, whatever the next projects are. So for now, kind of figuring that out and just trying to grow these businesses that are already running or getting running and, see what the next thing is. So that's pretty much kind of a random episode, guys, but from a high level, covered how to find a mentor, tactics, how I found mine, and then just some step-by-step stuff of what I'm doing in my life now and what's exciting and coming up. So I hope you guys are doing awesome. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to just put them in the Facebook group or comment or just shoot me a DM and we can connect, and hope you guys have an awesome weekend. See ya. Shh.
Hey, you millennial millionaire, do you want more? Then head to the Millennial Millionaires Through Real Estate Facebook group, where there are tons of step-by-step walkthroughs, tools, templates, and free networking to help you achieve financial freedom through real estate. And if you want Jonathan to help you personally reach your goals, then feel free to set up a one-on-one call in the link below or message him on any social media platform and apply to, well, work with Jonathan.